Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame, for it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Welcome to Let's Get To, the baseball podcast from the fans' perspective. Now here's your host, James Christopher.
Today, I raise my emotional support beer to the Fayetteville Woodpecker. Wrong show, although look at this sweet koozie I got from Fayetteville. Again, that 70s Astros look. Can't beat it. I am your host, James Christopher. Welcome to Let's Get To. And while nobody puts baby in a corner, my neighbor remodeling his house puts me in a corner. Why I shoot this episode, hoping that I don't get too much ambient noise from his decision to go on a 3-week destruction and remodel of his house. Love you, Frank. We're going to be redoing our house, and I'm thinking a lot of stuff will be done on this side. But again, I am your host, James Christopher, and it is opening day of baseball season. Again-ish. So I'm coming to you. It is Thursday. Baseball season started, but I'm going to be honest. I am recording this episode a couple of days before. We are flying Thursday morning out to see our granddaughter and get to meet our granddaughter, see our grandson, see my daughter, see Max. We're excited about all of it, but we wanted to get this episode put together. We've got a great episode planned to kind of work toward what Major League Baseball season will happen if it happens. 2020, y'all. But here's the thing about 2020 in baseball, and you know, we borrowed this from Andrew Nelson, and I think it bears repeating. Baseball isn't back. Baseball has been here. 30 teams that play in big markets and that are really big babies all across the board are back. And look, I had told a bunch of people that I was opting out of the season. And of course I wasn't. I saw one Lance McCullers curveball last night against Kansas City, and I'm back in. Go Stros. Very excited about the season. But it doesn't change the premise, or doesn't change my opinion, that we can't not forget all of these teams that have figured out a way to play already. And I get that it's smaller, that they are geographically isolated, and that they have formed bubbles. Although the NHL and NBA are forming bubbles too. But you know, you got up and you watched the KBO, you watched the CPBL, you got up and you did all of these things. So don't forget them now that the 30 teams are back. And don't forget, whenever you can get out to the ball game, to go to see independent leagues and collegiate summer leagues, and go to see affiliated minor league ball when it's back. It's honestly baseball at its best. It is baseball where it's played for the love of the game, with grit, with heart. It isn't about millionaires and billionaires fighting. So while I'm excited, and while I do hope the season gets finished, you know, and I do think the Astros are probably, if I'm being completely honest, the third best team in baseball. I think they'll win the division, but I think that the Yankees and the Dodgers are better. And I'm not even sure how close it is, because, you know, baseball, anything can happen. But I think that what this has taught me is that the premise of this show is sound, focusing on where baseball and its relationship to our country is really formed and where it really lives is sound and smart and the right idea. And so I'm hoping that everybody that kind of bought into that, those of you who bought into it before and then you discovered the show, or those of you who bought into it because of the show, continue to buy in, because it really is where baseball lives and breathes. And I don't know, I'm hoping that we don't forget that. You know, we talk about with this pandemic how life's going to be different, and I'm pretty jaded and I think that it won't be different. What I'm hoping doesn't change is the newfound appreciation for family, for friends, for spending time together. And I also hope that we appreciate what small businesses, and then again, that's what these teams are. Most affiliated minor league teams are owned by small companies or small family businesses. Collegiate summer leagues, same thing. Independent leagues, same thing. I'm hoping that we remember what those small businesses did for us during this pandemic, and we don't forget to pay them back when the time comes when we can actually get out to the ball game in full force.
And we are finally here, folks. It is our 2020 MLB preview, and we're excited to be joined by some of our favorite collaborators to discuss the Major League game. We've got Andy Tomchesson from GoGo Astros, Darian Sills-Evans from In the Dugout with Darian, and Scott McIntyre is bringing the Big League Chew.
All right, so we're excited to welcome to our Major League Baseball preview. The season starts tonight, but before we get started, as I do with every single baseball season, I'm going to crack open a beer. For the last 2 years, it's been a little Crawford Bock, a little Holler and a Swaller.
Brought to you by Crawford Bock, the favorite beer of all Astros fans in Houston.
Actually, most of us prefer Dome Foam, but yes, you're right. But I want to introduce everybody. We have our Major League Baseball brain trust, if you will. We've got Andy Tomchesson from GoGo Astros, Scott McIntyre from the Big League Chew, and Darian Sills-Evans from In the Dugout with Darian. And Darian, you and Scott, y'all met at ARF. Do you guys remember each other?
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect. Mm-hmm.
So I guess let's just go around. We'll start with Darian, Scott, and then Andy. Are we excited about the season finally being here, Darian?
I don't know. It's kind of bittersweet about it. I want to see baseball, but I don't want to see it and then have it have to go away in like a week. So I'm very conflicted right now.
Okay, that leads to my very first question out of the box. Scott, are you excited about baseball?
I am, because even like Darian saying, if it's going to go away, look, I've got a couple of crazy exes in my past that another 60 days with them knowing it's going to come to an end, that's still going to be a fun 60 days. You know, so if it lasts that long, cool. If it doesn't, fine, whatever. No, it's a really bad analogy, but it's not, if you know what I mean. I'm very much looking forward to it. I've seen some great baseball from the KBO. As you know, Jim, I was blowing your phone up Tuesday morning with the KT and LG insane game that was going on. That was a blast. But yeah, I'm ready to watch baseball all day long. I got NHL and baseball happening at the same time. I'm happy.
All right, Scott, fix your connection, fix your audio. You're a little warbled. We got most of that, though. That's what's important. I would like to say that I only feel that way about 50% of my exes. Andy, what about you, man? How are you feeling?
I thought Scott was doing a Max Headroom. Was that not accurate?
Have no idea what's going on, guys. No idea.
You know, I would love to sit here and say that I'm principled enough to be really upset with Major League Baseball. I am also the same asshole that was watching the Royals Astros exhibition games last night with full attention like it was a real game. So I'm excited that it's back. I hope they somehow manage to make it through 2 months in a playoff series, but it's still 50-50 whether or not that's going to happen for me.
Yeah. All right. So let me go with the first like kind of official question then, and we'll go in reverse order then. So two big things that have not been settled or are still working to be settled. One, there's no clear guidance on what MLB is prepared to do if a player tests positive on the road. As on Tuesday, there was an article in The Athletic by Ken Rosenthal. As of Tuesday, the Toronto Blue Jays can't find a place to play as of Tuesday. Andy. And then, like I said, we'll go Andy, Scott, then Darian. Do you think we're going to finish the season?
At this point, no. I mean, it's the odds are greatly against us, but this way. There are going to be players that test positive. There are going to be players that test positive on the road. I assume that Toronto is going to find a place to play, whether it's Buffalo or they share the Orioles stadium or, you know, whatever else is being suggested. But I think there's just too much spread in our communities and no isolation plan for Major League Baseball, it's going to end up equaling an entire team missing a series. And if they miss a series, they're going to miss 2 weeks because that's just how it's going to work. Is the backup plan to call up the 30 guys from your alternate site and have them show up and play? I mean, at worst case, it's going to cost somebody 3 or 4 games. And if you have that happen more than once, I just can't see it being maintainable.
I would, before we go to Scott on that. So if the Blue Jays do play in Baltimore and both of those teams go 500, that'd be more wins than a Baltimore has seen in an Orioles season for the last four or five
years. Honestly, they should get to, if they play in Baltimore, they should get to combined records.
I think so. I think that seems fair. Scott, what do you think? Are we getting all the way through it?
You guys say that, but who knows? I mean, haven't you seen Major League? The Blue Jays are a team without a home. You never know. They may go crazy. Yeah, I think we're going to get through it. I really do. Why not? I mean, if Texas and Florida can explode with cases and nothing shuts down there, why can't we figure it out for Major League Baseball? Every other sport is going after it. To be fair, Scott,
the reason why cases are exploding in Texas and Florida is because nothing shut down. It's
not right. Right, but that's what I'm saying. Nothing else is shutting down. Why are we going to start now? I mean, why have the proper response to a virus? In all seriousness, yes, I think we're going to get through it. I really do believe that. It's only 60 games in playoffs. I think they figure out a way, even if they have to put the postseason in certain pods. I think they do it.
Darian, follow up?
Well, 60 games is still a long time. I mean, 2 months ago, we were in a different place than we are now. I mean, two months from now, I don't know. I mean, we could be deeper into this apocalypse in a really scary way. I think Toronto is right for not allowing their own team to play there. You know, I'm conflicted because, you know, we have to give up something. And we're a generation and a country, really, who hasn't had to give up anything since World War II. You know, the rest of the world is like, look, no sports, no Olympics, no soccer. But we seem to be the only country not doing that. You know, we're getting basketballs going too. So it's, I don't think that we'll make it. I don't think we'll get to the end of this season. And it's like opening too soon. It's like Georgia opening too soon.
It's funny.
Can I say real quick, Jim?
Well, go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, fans, we can't have fans. Look, I will say that. We get through this if we don't have fans. If there are certain teams that want to have fans in the stands, then it's going to be a mess. We cannot have fans. That's all I wanted to add.
Yeah.
But having said that, we talked to the GM at the Speeders game the other day, and they have fans, and he was surprised that I thought we wouldn't be able to finish an MLB season. Because I think he's extrapolating their protocols onto what Major League Baseball could potentially do.
No, that was an interesting conversation that we had. He was shocked at our idea that we wouldn't be able to get through the Major League season. And he's like, well, we're doing it. I was like, yeah, but four teams in one spot, and they're way more efficient than trying to put together a protocol of 30-something teams. So, yeah, it doesn't shock me at all that but, yeah, it's
– you have the NHL and the NBA doing the pod system also. So, right. And that's essentially what Sugarland's doing and O'Fallon and Normal and all these other places as well. Northwoods League
up there. Already running into trouble. I mean, the NBA's like, they're really close to already almost canceling their season because players are still testing positive, and what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I do think you brought up an interesting topic for some other day, Darian, though, on this idea that as a culture right now, I've been saying this since we invaded Iraq, which is a weird thing to say, but you're right. We don't have to pay the cost of any of our own as a country getting through stuff anymore. I just thought it was interesting that, you know, we've been allowed to ignore things for so long that when we're asked to do even something simple as put a piece of cloth over your face and walk around, we can't do it. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty
great. People gross. Still complain about TSA lines. So it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. So I guess, you know, now we'll start with Darian and kind of work our way around too. I mean, so you don't see a situation at all. Like Darian doesn't think we're going to get through it. So we're not going to see any fans in an MLB stadium in your opinion?
I don't think so. I mean, if we're lucky, maybe we'll get some fans sometime in June of next year. But what are we doing? We're not doing any of the work. You know, the longer that we goof off, the longer it's going to take to get through it. And
I've heard the cold will kill it, Darian. Yeah.
Well, I thought the heat killed it. The heat killed it.
Wrong. You had to do the disinfectant in the light. The disinfectant in the light that comes up from underneath kills it all off. Everyone knows it, and we're better for it.
Oh gosh, yeah, it's we're just not gonna make it. And it's, I want to see baseball. I want to see movies. I want to do stuff with my family. I want to freaking go outside and go to the park because my kids will stop screaming. But it's like, we can't do this stuff, you know? And if we can't do simple stuff, it's just, it's kind of offensive and insulting to watch the league and ownership, you know, push forward. You know, it's, I don't think it's going to create a better baseball product. I'm not sure that these games are going to be that interesting and or all that investing. If I were a professional in this situation, are you giving 100%? I mean, do you feel safe doing that? I don't know. These guys have families just like we do. They want to go home. They want to be there for their kids.
And you say something interesting, and I think that's going to dovetail into what it, I don't know that the product is immediately in question because, you know, let's say Mike Trout does opt out, which is still very much up in the air, right? Like, well, automatically every Angels fan gets to take a pass on this. Mm-hmm. Then you also have situations where because of the way the new, for lack of a better term, CBA, the temporary one that was drawn up, Springer and Betts actually are not allowed to opt out if they want to have a free agent because they are not living with, nor are they like one of those highly susceptible people. Yeah. So that was interesting. High risk, yeah. Andy, what do you think on that then? What do you think about what the product will be like? And then we'll go to Scott.
Well, you know, we spent a lot of time on this podcast talking about how there's not much of a difference between minor league ball and major league ball. If Mike Trout, for instance, opts out because his wife's having a baby, somebody will take his place. The Angels are going to suck no matter what happens anyway. So that's part of it. Baseball will continue no matter what happens, as long as there's the ability to play games. New players will come up, holes will get filled. Sure. I think we're still in a spot just like we were last year that there's probably 7 teams realistically that have a chance to win the World Series and about 20 teams that have no chance at all. That's not going to change this year looking at, you know, the lineups and the various permutations of teams. There's still the top 3 or 4 teams that you're talking about and everybody else. That's more of a detriment to the quality of baseball and the interest of baseball in 30 different cities and across the country than a 60-game season.
Scott?
Andy and I agree and disagree. Yeah, I agree. If somebody goes sick, somebody else will be there. Or if somebody opts out, somebody else will be there to step up. Unless, as we talked about before, an entire team gets sick on the road and that entire team that comes down with a virus on the road has pinstripes and an NY across their chest, I can see baseball shutting down there because we all know there's a Yankees influence. Dead serious. If it's anybody else, I think it's a pass. I think we continue to play. Somebody gets ill. The next guy steps up. There can't be fans in the stands, in my opinion, because how are you supposed to have a team that doesn't even report to a locker room, yet all the fans can congregate and mill about in the middle, which also brings me back to how in the world Toronto can share home facilities with the Orioles or the Pirates or wherever they wind up. How are you supposed to do that? We do still have the virus going on. And, well, okay, we didn't play on the same day, though, or at the same time. Give me a break. Yeah. Play in Buffalo. Get over it, guys. Buffalo would love it. So I think that you can't have fans and get through this season. I also look at Major League Baseball now allowing teams to shine advertisements and whatnot on the field and put them out in various places on the wall for this year. You know, and I go back to the owners finding a way to make more money out of this, yet not finding a way to reach an agreement long ago so we could have been playing by now. But right, don't get me started on that because I'll be off the rails.
We were one Tony Clark hiccup away from allowing advertisements on the uniforms.
Right. Yeah. I can see it now. Let's just let the teams be like the KBO and let them be sponsored by somebody. You know, the Chase Bank Cubbies. But
here's the thing, though, and I think Andy brought up a point about the NY and pinstripes thing. Like, Darian, you're a Mets fan, and I'm going to ask a question about that just so I can see these guys, see your honest reaction, because it's always hilarious when I bring that topic up. But you're a Mets fan, which means you're second fiddle to the other team in New York.
Oh, yeah,
sure. What are you going to feel like if, you know, let's say Syndergaard can't make a start against New York because, oh, his test didn't come back? Not that he's positive or negative.
Right.
We've already seen players held up. That's what I think is the third part of this, is that I still don't trust the testing just to get results back enough to really be able to play ball.
I mean, I'd feel terrible. And in response to the, well, someone's going to just come up and take their place if they move someone up from AAA or whatever the case is, what if that person's just not ready? And then you've got to watch someone who's not ready go up against the Yankees in Syndergaard's place and blow it and blow his chance to, like, make a really good first impression in the show because he had to come up because of COVID. I don't know. It's...
Well, that is a good point, and I'll turn that to Scott then, since Scott's has been to a lot more of these lower-level games than I am. I think that we all agree that if you go watch a AAA game, you can forget about the talent differential. Mm-hmm. But it isn't fair to these prospects to rush development because, like, you know, Andy, you and I are very focused on Forrest Whitley, and he has looked great for three games.
Sure.
Is it fair to throw him up against the Dodgers if a COVID test doesn't come back?
It's not fair, but crappy organizations have been pushing players to the majors forever. I mean, literally forever. David Clyde's the best example of that that just immediately comes to mind. He's a high school kid the Rangers signed and putting in the starting rotation at 18 years old and never took him out. And he eventually just petered out because he never developed. Baseball organizations have been doing that forever. I don't think it's necessarily different because it's highlighted because the player they're replacing has COVID. You could be Wally Pipp for any number of reasons.
Okay, fair enough.
I think also that whenever you're looking at somebody getting called up over a start, if somebody has to come up and replace a Syndergaard for 15 to 20 starts because he's had Tommy John or something, the cracks are going to show by then. But let's face it, I mean, you're not going to get any more than 12 starts this season. 12 starts is the maximum amount you're going to get as a pitcher. And if you're called up for six of those, you can probably fake your way through it or at least get it to the bullpen. I do think, though, that this is why teams that are creative and teams that have a lot of pitching depth are extremely dangerous. And in the predictions I've seen going into this year, I don't think everyone's taking that into account. Teams like the Rays are in a prime spot here because they have a manager that's very creative and he has a deep pin to play around with. Craig Counsell and the Brewers as well, although I don't think he has as many weapons. You know, the Cardinals, I'll talk about the hometown team here for a minute. It's a team that's basically had seven or eight major league ready starters, Jack Flaherty, Dakota Hudson, Ponce de Leon, going down the line. These teams get really, really dangerous. He did. Daniel Ponce de Leon. He found it after he took a bean ball off the forehead a couple of years ago in Memphis and cracked his skull. Yeah, I made a wicked recovery to come back. But you've got the more pitching depth you have, the more dangerous you are in the short season. And here it comes.
Okay, let's get into the season then. You know, what are you guys like? Where are you feeling as far as who do we think is going to win? Who do we think has the best advantage going in? We'll start with Andy. Let's have you kind of run through maybe the AL West for us real quick.
AL West is fairly easy. It's the Astros and everybody else. I think the Astros have the offense and have enough starting pitching to withstand whatever's going to come from the A's. I think the A's are one of my wild card teams. But beyond that, there's not much else coming from the Angels, Rangers, or Mariners. And I think it's going to look really similar to the last few seasons, honestly, in the West.
Anybody have a different feeling about the Astros in the AL West?
Actually, no.
I think the Astros win the division, but I think to write off the Angels with the addition of Anthony Rendon and Joe Maddon is not smart. Still not in a short season.
Didn't Joe Maddon lose the locker room already? Sorry.
You just said the team with the most pitching is going to survive the best in a 60-game season. The Angels have no pitching.
I mean, I don't think the Dodgers look bad either. But
I think the Rangers have a better shot at a wild card in that division, Darian, than I think the Angels do because of that point. I think they have five number three starters in their rotation.
I think if people get injured, then the depth. But if you don't have any pitching to begin with and you're finding ways to win, and let's face it, Madden's history, he finds a way to get guys out of the bullpen in good situations and create matchups for his offense. So I'm just saying, I would not write the Angels off at your own peril.
Darian, want to take a crack at the NL East?
Oh, gosh. Does anyone?
Darian's like, do I have to?
Yeah. NL East is not looking good. I where do you go? I got to stick with the Mets, if only because I'm going to stick with my hometown team. But, yeah, the NL East is kind of a rough slog right now. I don't know. For the 60-game season? Maybe. I don't know. I have stronger feelings about the NL West than I have about the East. So
well, we're gonna have you start the West too in a second. I do feel like the Mets pitching though to all of that. Like I feel like it finally comes together, right? Like that's.
I mean, they have that. That's like Scott was saying, that's what you need. You know, I mean, and in a 60-game season, having that kind of pitching will be good for the Mets. Knowing that they're the Mets, I don't think they're going to do anything. I don't think it's going to be good. And that's if we get to the end. If we get to the end of the 60-game season, even the Mets with their good arms, I guarantee you will be at the bottom.
I mean, with their good arms, well,
I think also what's positive, if I'm a Mets fan, the other thing that's positive for me is my offense in the past has had breakdowns throughout the year. Injuries happen. And over the course of 60 games, we're less likely to break down. So I do think the short season plays in the Mets' favor. But we're a year away from talking about how the Phillies might break through with the Bryce Harper signing. You can't forget about them. And the Braves and Nats are awesome.
Yeah,
but you could have an offensive breakdown at any point, and the Mets have certainly had offensive breakdowns early in the season that have lasted a month or two. And I mean, that's the sweet spot for this season, you know. Someone gets hurt.
Let's
write off Miami.
Let's write off Miami. I almost got through it with a straight face. I almost finished all the way through Miami. I got to Miami. I couldn't pull it off. Sorry.
But I was going to say, Darian, don't lose faith in JD Davis and Jake Mariznick, baby.
Yeah.
From the H.
Yeah. Yeah, this is true.
Scott, you want to go ahead and handicap real quick the NL Central?
The toughest division in all of baseball. The Reds have gotten so much better. The Cubs are still the Cubs, although I do think losing Joe Maddon hurts them. I think the Cardinals are kind of being written off because people are seeing the loss of Marcell Ozuna and whatnot, but really the Cardinals have so much pitching depth, and that includes the bullpen. Then you got the Brewers with Craig Counsell, and then there's the Pirates. So let's forget about the Pirates. Let's move them over here. I think the Cardinals are going to take the division personally in a weird, wacky two games separate four teams type of scenario, with the Brewers surprising people, the Cubs dragging fourth because I don't like the Cubs, so I can say that, and the Reds really, really, really playing hard, hard baseball. The Reds have done the Reds. If anybody's going to take off with the division, I think it's the Reds, but I don't think that happens. I think you've got four heavyweights in the ring at the same time beating the holy crap out of each other.
I agree about the Brewers. I think they're a surprise team. They're one of my wild card teams in the National League.
Okay, Andy,
Craig Counsell gets a lot out of that team.
I'm going to let you go back to the American League, Andrew. And I know you think I'm going to let you pick the AL East, but I mean, let Vader pick the AL East. In fact, with a name like Vader, he probably should pick the AL East. the AL Central intrigues me.
I'm torn because logic and 538 and a bunch of other places say Twins. And the Twins ran away with that division last year, but they also displayed pretty successfully in the playoffs that they weren't ready to be a playoff team and certainly weren't a legitimate 100-win team if they were in any other division. I think they suffer with a healthy healthy diet of the NL Central, which top to bottom is a much better division than the AL Central. I still have the Twins winning it, but it's close. I have the White Sox right behind them, and you could flip-flop those two teams for me. I think, like the Reds that Scott brought up, the White Sox have made a lot of improvement, a lot of growth, and have a lot of young talent to go along with some veteran pitching now. I think they could make a real run, especially in a short season.
I like the White Sox a lot, and Keuchel last night looked like he had it back. Or last night, I'm sorry, Tuesday night. Monday night.
The White Sox now look like the Twins look like last year. And Jim, I'll give you credit. You were the only one of the three of us between your brother and yourself and I that were brave enough to pick the Twins to make it to the postseason. So great call on that. Tip of the cap. Tip of the Cardinals cap. But I think the Twins repeat, although the White Sox are going to be dangerous.
Mr. Sills Evans,
let's not forget the Tiger. Okay.
Not every team needs a mention. This is not the White Sox.
Can't do it. Can't say it. Can't do it. Can't.
Gary, what about the NL West?
The NL West, I'm really going with the Dodgers. They're my adopted home team, but they look really strong. They're incredibly deep. And, being a transplanted New Yorker who's a Californian, I think we're going to get a little California freeway series by the end of it. I really think it'll be Dodgers Angels. I mean, that's my feeling, but we'll see.
So, boom, Andy, you just called out the Angels too. How you like me now? Yeah, okay.
Everybody's got opinions.
Yeah.
I think the Padres, man.
You think the Padres?
A lot of young pitching and a young talent ready to break out, and I have the hat. So,
the Padres have spent, if you think about it, so last year and the money they spent for Machado and then before that what they spent for Hosmer, they have invested heavily in the free agent market. So if any team is paid enough to make a really hard run, it's absolutely San Diego. But if you look at, we go back to pitching, I think the only team that may compete with the Dodgers in that division are the Diamondbacks, because they've gone out and get Mad Bomb. They've gone out, they got Robbie Ray. They have a really they have a strong pitching core that could really break out. So I think the Diamondbacks may sneak into it, but man, if the Dodgers lose that with all the money they've spent and as deep as they are, we talk about people getting hurt. There's four guys in the Dodgers that can replace anybody that gets hurt. Yeah, so I
don't see any way the Dodgers lose that division. And honestly, the Diamondbacks and Padres are the next up, but I don't think either of those teams are better than a slew of wild card potential teams out of the other two divisions. My wild card teams in the National League are the Braves and the Brewers. We didn't talk a lot about the Braves. They're a really solid team who I think are going to learn from their postseason flop last year and come back and do some damage this year. I still think the Mets win that division, but I think the Braves are – I'm going to push them all the way.
Okay, so let's go through then. Who do you each? We'll do each of us. I'll go last. We'll let Scott go first, then Andy, then Darian, then me. Who is your World Series matchup this year?
So my World Series matchup will be the NL East winning Tampa Bay Devil Rays. I do think they're going to top the Yankees in the East against the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think the only thing that can really get in the Dodgers' way is a declining Kenley Jansen. And hopefully they have somebody else that could step up should Jansen run into trouble. So I do think it'll be Tampa and L.A., and simply because they don't want to televise games out of the glorified Costco that is Tampa Bay's stadium. They will pod every game in L.A. and just play it all from Chavez Ravine. Wow. Why not?
Wow.
Darry, what do you think?
In my heart of hearts, I'm still going with Dodgers, Angels, and my – dream scenario, it would probably be Mets, Angels, but we'll see.
So you have the Angels in the World Series, even though you don't have them winning the division.
I think they can win the division, but I think that they're probably my favorite team in the West, in AL West anyway, to go all the way, to go deep into a 60-game season that won't happen. I think that they'll be the ones that make it, you know. But that's just my
prediction. Arian's like, the season's not going to end. It's like, Tigers, Marlin.
Why are we even having this segment? Andy, what about you?
I have a rematch of the 1986 NLCS on deck, Mets-Astros. I think, and I've been reading predictions last couple of days. I think everybody is still sleeping on the Astros. I understand why. I understand that the national media somehow believes that their desire to shame the franchise of Houston will somehow affect the product on the field. The one salient point they make is that Gerrit Cole's loss is going to be a big deal. I think Gerrit Cole is going to miss Brett Strom more than the Astros miss Gerrit Cole this year. And I think Lance McCullers Jr. is going to fill in pretty nicely. And if you've got a rotation of Verlander, Greinke, McCullers, that's a pretty good playoff rotation to get through. I think the Mets get stronger as the season goes on. I think ultimately the Astros take revenge for 1986, and those of us of a certain age will be able to sleep well finally.
I have my Jose Altuve cord sticking out of my shirt in honor of. It's a joke.
I've got Jim DeShays, the 1986 team, and Bill Brown, who was a broadcaster for the 1986 team, here to back me up.
I love that pick though, man. I love the idea of Astros Mets, because you're right. It would exorcise some demons that Darian does periodically like to remind me of. I think it's interesting. So I think that if I had to rank the top three, and you're right, Andy, the national media is trying to tell a story, but if you look at all the projections, which are usually pretty accurate, you know, all of them have the Astros losing to the Dodgers in the World Series. 5-1-2, Baseball Prospectus.
538 still has Dodgers, Yankees, Astros 1-2-3 for making the playoffs and 1-2-3 for winning the World Series.
Oh, well.
But, you know, I think that if it was a 162-game season, I would probably have to say that the Astros were the third best team in the majors. Dodgers, Yankees, and then Astros is probably how I'd put it. I do think that for as much as it sucks for the Astros to not have Urquidy and potentially Alvarez because of this, because it isn't even just because of COVID. They also have to be able to get granted international travel back into the country. I know Urquidy is in Mexico. I don't know if Yordan, is he from Cuba, Andy?
Yes.
So I don't know if he's in the country or not.
Nobody seems to be talking about it. Whatever it is, yeah.
Well, I think they can't because it's a medical condition they can't.
Yeah, HIPAA would prevent the team from saying this person has this. But the immigration issue, we can thank our current government for screwing that up on a number of levels.
See, the Yankee conspiracy goes all the way to the top, baby.
what team is Trump a fan of?
He is a Yankee fan.
There you go.
But I don't know.
Most beautiful team, biggest team, Mets team, stripes on the Trump Tower, and everybody knows it.
But show him a can of Shinola and a baseball, he would know the difference.
Right.
But the one thing I do think that happened was with this layoff because of COVID, Verlander's healthy and looking better than he's looked in years. McCullers has gotten more work in. Josh James has looked better. He was scratched for their final exhibition game on Tuesday, but that was more a weather consideration, not a health one. So, you know, I think I'm going to hold my prediction off when I think they win the division. It'll be the first time ever the Astros win four division titles in a row. But we all know the playoff teams are weird, and we all know that the best team doesn't always win. So I want to finish up then. We'll go with Darian, Scott, and Andy. One crazy prediction for 2020. And Darian, if Darian, yours can be, we won't finish.
Well, my crazy prediction for 2020 will be that the Yankees will win it all, but it won't be the Yankees that we know. It'll be their double-A squad that come up and shock the world. A Disney movie will be made about them in 5 years.
Will you be directing the Disney movie?
I will direct the Disney movie.
Good.
Is their double-A team still in Kansas City?
No, it's the Trent Thunder.
It's a Trenton Thunder. It was taking a shot at the Royals. Sorry.
Mr. McIntyre.
Yeah, so my crazy prediction is going to be there will be a starter that finishes the season undefeated.
Okay.
That's my craziest thing. And don't sleep on the Nats. They still got Corbin, Scherzer, Strasburg. I haven't slept
because of the Nationals since late October of 2019. Yeah.
The only thing they lack is protection for Soto in that lineup.
And they've got somebody's going undefeated. They have my soul, so there's that. Andy.
What I would like my crazy prediction to be is that Venom Vape Cartridge Stadium becomes a thing. Because it's too perfect. But what I think is really going to happen crazily is that Rob Manfred's finally going to release that letter, and the Yankees will receive no punishment no matter what it says.
Okay, and I think my crazy prediction is that the Astros will have a player in Alex Bregman and in Justin Verlander that should win both MVP and Cy Young, but will receive almost no votes from baseball writers as a punishment for 2017.
I do not understand the discounting. I know this. We're not turning this into an Astros talk segment. I do not understand the discounting of Justin Verlander, who rightfully should be competing for his third Cy Young in a row, like Snell. Won it last year and has no mention amongst the CBS sports writers, no mention in The Athletic, and only one vote from the ESPN 32 talking heads. I get Gerrit Cole's the pick, although I will caution you that Gerrit Cole looked really bad the first 2 months of the season. Didn't look great the first 2 months of 2018. We only have a two-month season, so who knows what you're going to get. Probably be great, but it'll be interesting to see. Verlander's it's tough to leave him out of the conversation, but they seem to want to do that.
Two right. words, Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty, NL Cy Young.
Bang, what are they doing? On the starters looking at getting what, maybe what, 10 starts, 6 starts?
12 starts. 13, depending on how you rotate. Like the Astros, top four starters should get 13 because they only need their fifth starter 8 times. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 12 to 13 is probably in there. And you'll be happy, Darian. I've got Jacob DeGrom winning the Cy Young in the National League.
Yeah, and then renaming the award after him.
Absolutely. Way to go out on a limb there, Andy.
Well, and
this just in. Hank Aaron may hit another. You know, may hit a home run in the.
You want me to go out on a limb? Here you go. Rookie of the Year in the National League because of his great name and because of opportunity. Carter Kaiboom. Carter Kaiboom's taken over for third base. We'll get to play every day and should put up great stats in that lineup.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thanks for being on. Let's Get To You. We will follow up with all four of us throughout the season whenever it ends, Darian. And then
next week.
We'll be here next week following up on the end of the season.
Lights, camera, play ball, inside baseball cinema.
And yeah, we're back on Lights, Camera, Play Ball. And I am wearing this really cool shirt from the Durham Bulls that says 2020. This is some bull shirt. And I'm wearing it in part because it's hilarious. It's true. And let's be honest, I thought it'd be cool to talk about some baseball movies while wearing a shirt that represents what I think is the third. That's right, Scott McIntyre, the third best baseball movie ever made. I want to go back to a conversation we had with DB Sweeney last week. And I talked to him about how I felt like his performance as Shoeless Joe Jackson makes Field of Dreams a better movie. And I had some questions about that, and I wanted to kind of approach that answer from a filmmaker perspective. Now, Shoeless Joe Jackson, as portrayed by D.B. Sweeney in 8 Men Out, is a very sympathetic character. He, at least the portrayal of the film, he comes across as someone who was manipulated, who maybe didn't fully understand what he was getting into. He is portrayed as someone who isn't dumb, but who isn't educated and who was kind of pushed around. He's mocked for not being very smart, all of those things. There's the scene in the movie at the beginning where he's like, hey, mister, can somebody yells at, hey, Joe, can you spell cat? And Joe responds, hey, mister, can you spell shit? Because he was known to have not, again, couldn't read. When you looked at those at that performance, and I think D.B. Sweeney does a great job, you feel for this character, just like you feel for all the ones who were at least portrayed in the film as someone who was pushed into these decisions, especially when you factor in that they were pushed into the decisions to throw the series based on the economics of the time, that they were nothing. They were really glorified. I don't want to say slave labor because they're still playing baseball, but they didn't have rights. They didn't have the ability to change teams. They didn't have the ability to do the things that we see so often in the game now. The problem with Field of Dreams, and Field of Dreams is number two on my list, so it's still a movie that I love. The problem with Field of Dreams and the way that the character of Shoeless Joe Jackson is written and then portrayed by Ray Liotta, nothing about his performance is inherently sympathetic. Nothing about his performance is inherently calling us to feel empathy for someone who maybe needs justice. The way that character is written, the way that character is portrayed, it could have been anybody. It could have been any player. Any player that Ray's dad saw play ball that maybe didn't have the career that they had thought so or hoped. We really deal with the Black Sox thing in one series of dialogue in which Ray is telling his daughter on the tractor about all of these things that went wrong. But that's it. And as a filmmaker, the big rule, right, is show, don't tell. Show, don't tell. Well, in this movie, we're told. I cannot watch Field of Dreams without thinking about Eight Men Out, which is why I think it's a great companion piece and why it blew my mind when D.B. Sweeney said that he was originally offered the part and for, I think, logical reasons didn't take it. Ray Liotta is obviously a fine actor. He's actually not my cup of tea, but the fact is that he is one of the most successful actors in Hollywood, period. I'm not your Goodfellas fan, but he's great in the film, you know, ostensibly as I'm watching him act, he's great in the film. He's great at Copland. He's so good. But he doesn't have that sympatheticness. He doesn't have that I was really wronged and this is why I need someone to ease his pain. Now, of course, obviously, Field of Dreams know that that wasn't the pain that needed easing, and the pain that needed easing was, in fact, Ray's pain. But at the moment, we're led to believe that. So I really recommend, if you haven't seen Eight Men Out, it's tragically underrated. It really does paint a very picture of a type of baseball that we don't even recognize anymore. And when you think about when we complain about players asking for more money and wanting to get what they're worth, it stems back to the events that led to the Black Sox. So I highly recommend checking that out. And then watch Field of Dreams afterwards. And I think if you don't already feel moved by Field of Dreams, one, see if you have a pulse because oh my God. But two, I think that you can carry over what D.B. Sweeney and the director and writer of Eight Men Out taught us about Shoeless Joe and use that borrowed knowledge, which filmmakers rely on all the time. We rely on you as an audience member understanding something about the world. Take that borrowed knowledge and apply it to Field of Dreams, and I think you'll have a much more moving film watching experience.
Oppo Taco, a fan's view.
So yeah,
of the
I want
show.
To just kind of talk. We'll start out with a little bit of what do you think of how we got here? 60 games, your excitement level, and then I'm going to ask you: A's win the AL West, why? A's lose the AL West, why? Okay. All right. So we are excited to be joined by Stu Clary. He has now finally joined the video version of the show for Oppo Taco. Stu, how's it going, man?
Great, James. Good morning here. I guess good afternoon to you. And hello, everybody out there watching the podcast.
So first of all, how are y'all safe? Are you masking up? How's it going out there?
Yeah, it's funny. Where I live, basically halfway between Sacramento and the San Francisco Bay Area, as you go further away from the Bay Area, you become more conservative. I think maybe you know what I'm talking about living in Austin. And as you go further west from my house, you see more masks. And I think if you go farther east, you see less masks. I wear a mask because I want there to be sports. And I don't see wearing a mask as an infringement upon my personal liberty. So you see, most people where I'm at are wearing masks and taking it seriously, but there are some lunkheads out there that aren't.
I counted. I have 22 masks. I've really bought into this.
I have a I do not have 22 mask. I have a black one. I have an A's one.
Okay.
It depends on my fashion statement I want to make that day.
I can totally appreciate that. So let's dive into it then. We're recording this early, dropping this on Thursday. Major League Baseball will begin a 60-game sprint. You know, where are you at as far as, you know, how we got here in quote, the legitimacy of the season? And I'll preface this for our viewers. Your last time on the show, you said it would be a disaster for the A's if they weren't able to play with what 2021 looks like. So where are you at now?
I'm happy that we're playing baseball. Last night, the A's and Giants had an exhibition game that I watched from the first pitch to the last out. And just glad that the national pastime is back and playing. We just have to make the best of it in what is our 2020 reality. I think it's legit because there's Major League. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Okay. All right. I think it is what it is, I guess, is the best way of saying it without really saying anything too profound.
Right. It does seem, you know, I'm kind of with you. You had mocked me a little bit we were texting. And I said something about how I don't even care anymore, and you said you care. I watched every bit of the Astros play the Royals last.
Of course, you care. We both care. This is the baseball is the soundtrack of our summer for our whole lives, and there's not one person watching this right now that doesn't care. Everybody cares. Everybody cares that loves baseball. Everybody cares. So I have a Giants friend down the street that our town is split, maybe 60-40 Giants fans because they've had the more recent success. But big Giants fan down the street, he says he doesn't care about the season. I said, Jody, you wouldn't say that if the Giants weren't going to suck this year. He copped to it. He admitted it. He cares.
Yeah, it's funny. I watched the Astros preseason preview on The Athletic, and they you like the fact that they did count the Giants getting to be an early punching bag for the Astros to help.
Although the Giants did put a whipping on the A's last night, so I can't really say a whole lot, but luckily that one didn't count.
Didn't count. So let's look at the Oakland Athletics then. I think that most people going into 2020 would have said it would have been an Astros-A's race. I think the short season might help the Rangers be in that conversation because they do have decent pitching, but I still think it's Astros-A's.
And the other one that could probably be in that conversation is the Angels because their offense is going to be outstanding. Their defense, if you look at the Angels, their infield defense is pretty really, really strong too. Maybe the best aspect of their team. So the Angels should not be counted out. But assuming the cream rises to the top, and I think hopefully 60 games is enough for the cream to rise to the top, it'll be the A's and the Astros.
So the Oakland Athletics win the AL West. Why?
Everybody, everything goes according to plan. All things click on all cylinders. I'll take my chances with the hitters. The A's have an outstanding defense. Chris Davis rounds back into form from that he showed in 16, 17, and 18 rather than what happened to him in 19. Olsen and Chapman and Laureano continue what they're doing. That they get at average to above average production from second base from one of Franklin Barreto, Tony Kemp, who played first second base for us last night, and or Chad Pinder. I think they're going to do a lot of mixing and matching. The other one that Piscotty had a bit of a down year last year. He was hurt quite a bit. So if the chips fall right for them offensively, then that happens. And, you know, pitching, but you guys don't like him. I think you like him as far as ability wise. We love Fires. We're very high on Manaea. We have, we did get a bit of a gut punch with our two young pitchers, Luzardo and Puck. Yesterday, Puck was put on the IL with a shoulder strain. So that's not going to be good. Let's see how that pans out. But that can't be, that's, you know, far from great news, but there's others that'll step up. So we'll win again if, you know, Bassett can fill that four or five spot in the order. How quickly can Luzardo get into the rotation? He was a late arrival to camp because of a positive COVID test.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. Bullpen volatility, you never know. I mean, is the bullpen going to be lights out again? Is the bullpen going to be a gas can again? That's something we never know. So in that division with the Astros, everything has to fall right. You have to get a little bit lucky and be really good, which I think the talent-wise are there. Are they going to have luck on their side?
Yeah, I wanted to ask about the COVID thing. Like, you know, the Astros are dealing with Yordan Alvarez and Jose Urquidy, who are supposed to be really big contributors, who are not reported yet for things they can't say, which is COVID. Like, right, like you would get.
Well, it's medical, so they can't really say.
Right. But. Has COVID outside of, he said it was Luzardo, has it affected anybody else so far?
That's the only one that we know of. That's the only one that was late to camp. Fires was delayed by a couple of days because he had actually worked out with Luzardo prior to reporting. But all tests are had been good. Also, on the one of the A's bullpen pieces, Jake Diekman has a pre-existing condition. So they're very, very cognizant of that. And I think I'm under the impression that there's a level higher stringency in their testing and social distancing. They're taking it very seriously. I think everyone is.
One of the things that has stressed me out about the season, and I wanted to get the A's perspective as we kind of wrap up. So the Astros have lost a couple of days of workouts, and then Springer has lost a few days, Bregman, because of testing not getting back. How are we supposed to, do you cancel a game if that happens? Like, what do you think that happens in regular season? Have the A's been affected by that as well?
The same thing happened with the A's. So they tested on the Thursday of 4th of July weekend, and then they found out on Sunday that the tests were still sitting in a FedEx facility. Because
they didn't know 4th of July was a thing. I remember that.
Apparently, I know that Chapman went public with how pissed off he was about all that. A couple of the other players did as well, Diekman. So there were concerns, and I think that when you undertake something like this, there's bugs in the system, and hopefully Major League Baseball can figure it out. I don't think it's on the team, but I think it's on the league.
It is on the league, and I know the Diamondbacks have opted to now use a different testing facility. Who knows, you know, how that goes. Stu, thanks so much for being on. I hope that you get to watch every single out this weekend, man. I hope you do.
I hope the same for you. I just hopefully let's play and let's get a World Series in. Let's do something. This will be an interesting, wacky, and certainly memorable season.
Unless it's Yankees, Dodgers, and then by all means, shut it down.
You got that right.
And now on to close it out, the right-hander from Houston, Texas, James Christopher.
So that does wrap us up. But before we go, I want to talk about internet trolls. And I get that nothing makes me sound more like old man yells at cloud than trying to discuss something like this. But here goes. I think most of the people that you interact with are good people. There's a great line in the movie Silverado where Kevin Kline says, either you approach the whole world like everyone's your friend or like nobody is. And I can see a value in both approaches to life. I tend to take the everybody's your friend first. And it's often awkward when I realize that that's not the case, but I don't know that the world would be any easier to navigate if I felt like everybody wasn't. So those are the two choices in life. I choose to take the one where everybody's my friend, which means I engage even on social media, particularly on Twitter, that way. And
I know a few people that kind of do the same thing, and they're good people, and they're really trying to have like real conversations. And then there are trolls, and you know, you can spot them on Twitter pretty easily. They've got like 40 followers or less. There's no picture, or it's usually a picture of like a player that they are standing for or whatever. And I think the best thing to do is to avoid them at all costs. And I've tried to like live by this pledge where I don't engage with people that don't seem legit, you know. And, you know, if you got 3 followers and no picture and you're yelling cheater on an Astros post that has nothing to do with 2017, then I'm just not going to pay attention. And I use that example knowing and seeing that there are Astros fans that do the same thing. Like, that's, I think, the point is we have to those people who are like looking for honest, good interactions on social media. I think the way to do it is to remember that every single fan base has their douches. Nobody is above board. Just like every fan base just about has like some history of cheating in their legacy. And now we're splitting hairs and picking at nits to say what was worse, steroids or this or that or that or that. It's better just to acknowledge that it happens everywhere, find the good where we can and hang on to that. And I bring this up because I saw somebody who, look, I would consider him a friend. I know it's weird to think of someone you've never met in real life as your friend, but somebody I definitely respect. I definitely respect his approach to things. Just getting beat up by Astros fans who can't see the distinction between acknowledging that, yeah, now there is no statistical evidence that the 2017 cheating scandal actually led to them winning more than 3 games, I think is what the Duke University thing said, and that it was wholly ineffective in the playoffs. So I think it's okay to have that conversation, but you still can't brag about the cheating because it's still wrong. Like, both of those things can exist in a world because we're supposed to be intelligent people who can see nuance. And it made me mad. It made me embarrassed for my fan base. You know, I'm never going to apologize for 17. I'm not going to apologize for what they did. There are no asterisks on any of my memorabilia over there. But I don't think the organization's perfect. I've said on this show, I mean, the destruction of the minor leagues is largely Jeff Luhnow's idea, simply executed by other people. The world sucks. I call you again to my Bull Durham, this is Bull Shirt shirt. The world sucks, man. We are heading toward an election where I've been pretty open about what I want to see happen, but already knowing that there's going to be major issues regardless of who wins. We're in a pandemic that is both serious and politicized at the same time. Do we have to go out of our way to be miserable to people that we don't know? And what does it say about you if that gets you off? If you feel big and tough? I've used the analogy, and I've heard it used before, that the biggest problem with this generation, and again, old man yells at cloud, the biggest problem with this generation is that it is a bunch of people who've never been punched in the face. And you know that they would never say, or generally speaking, wouldn't say the things they say in person as some of they say online. And, you know, at least I'm old enough to be able to understand the difference. We know that there's a big problem with teen suicide as a result of this behavior because kids don't know the difference. I just want people to go, listen, Yankee fan on Twitter celebrating home runs in a preseason game, it is not your responsibility as an Astros fan to respond with Altuve's home run off of Chapman. You don't have to do it. You could not. Yankee Dodger fan, if Astros fans are talking about that home run, it's not your responsibility to comment with buzzer stuff that's been debunked and disproven a million times or altered videos. The short-term satisfaction that you get from doing that, you're not clever. You're an asshole. But maybe for once we should learn as a society to say, hey, this is just a group of people that are doing their best to forget about the fact that the world sucks right now. And maybe just let them not have the world suck right now. I know it seems stupid and it seems pie in the sky, but I think that, you know, part of why I pursue this show the way I do, the way I think I've tried to create something very different in the sports landscape. We were leaving the Round Rock game and a pretty prominent member of Astros Twitter saw that I was there. We met up, we took a photo. And Jessica asked if I was big in Astros Twitter, and I'm not. And it's funny to me, and I wear it as a badge of honor because I'm never the guy that's like, hey, here are your top five Astros Twitter followers, because I'm not a troll. I don't throw bombs. I think I'm pretty open about the fact that I believe that that world championship is legitimate. Like, I will fight you about whether or not the world championship should be considered legitimate or not. But I don't troll other fan bases. But I take with pride that I am often the person other fan bases say, hey, if you want to follow some, get some good Astros content, here's where you follow. I would gladly be known for having some degree of intellect, I guess, or rationale in how I approach things. And, you know, I could definitely probably have taken this show a lot bigger, a lot faster if I reduced to the lowest common denominator. But just like the way I interact with people online, I want to be able to like look at myself in the mirror and be like, yeah, okay, I did something right. Or I did something that was worth. As humble as it might be, or maybe not humble is the wrong word. Maybe I'm being completely egomaniacal. But I don't want to walk out. I want to feel like I've added something to the world. I think the world is already nasty and mean, and it's already trying to beat us up. It's that Rocky speech all over again. I'd rather think that I added something positive to it, not something negative. So enjoy the first weekend of Major League Baseball games. I really hope that the season can get played, for as much as it's going to cause in a lot of questions because it's very against the nature of baseball to play 60 games. I hope that we get the distraction. And I hope that, you know, you have a good weekend, that you're safe. We'll be back next week. Savannah Bananas are going to be on next week. Very excited. So until then, we're going to go see our grandkids. We're going to go see little Braxton, who got mocked for being an Astros fan. And I've got more gear for him. And we're going to finally get to meet Kennedy, our granddaughter. And, you know, I'm so excited. When Jordan had the first one, when she had practice, we were nervous and scared because that's what you are for your kids. And then we saw the kind of mom she is and the kind of dad Max is. And then when Kennedy came and we had to wait so long to see her, it has been torture. So we are going to fly to Oregon. We can't wait. So we'll be doing that. We'll check in on the Astros, of course. But I hope your teams are doing well. I hope that you have a good weekend. And until next time, let's get to it.